Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Miss J. And we have a really special guest on for you guys today. But before I go any farther, I would like to ask Miss J if she would take, if she don't mind taking the pleasure of bringing our special guest on.
Well, absolutely. Cheryl is a motivational speaker. She is an author, and she has a great book out about fear. So today we're going to talk about fear. But before we get started asking Cheryl about her journey, Cheryl, tell the audience a little bit about you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cheryl. I'm an author, and I'm a mother of five children. I have seven grandchildren. And I decided to take this journey into writing when I was 12 years old. That's when I started doing poetry. I've always written things that, you know, came from the heart. And I did have a lot of fear of what the people would think about my writing.
So because of that fear that you just mentioned, is that the reason why you started speaking about fear and moving past fear to achieve your goals and so forth?
Yes, yes. I was told a message by a very important person that stated that if you're afraid to speak on what you write, then you shouldn't be writing what you're writing.
Right on.
Exactly. So I grew up with a lot of fear. A lot of fear what people would think, what people would say. Part of it came from being teased a lot in school. And so it kind of like pushed me back into a corner where I always thought I was going to be laughed at. So I, as I got older, of course, I kind of broke out of that, learning to just be myself and not worry about what the next person thought or how they felt.
Yeah. You know, fear, Cheryl, fear is a very, very important subject because a lot of people in this world carry fear. Matter of fact, fear can hinder them, you know, in succeeding. But at the same time, fear could be your best, you know, very good for you, you know. And
yes.
The reason I say that is because, you know, because sometimes people don't do certain things because they're afraid that they might catch a whipping, especially children, or adults afraid that they might go to jail or, you know, things of that nature. But we're speaking on fear that can hinder you from succeeding. Now, let's say if a person might say, well, you know, how do you overcome fear? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to just relax, take a deep breath and just relax and just, you know, just be yourself. Just go for it. You never know what's ahead for you, what's in the future for you if you don't take a chance. I think like in the homes when we're teaching our children today, we need to start teaching our children to be themselves, to be leaders, to not to be followers. If you raise your children to be leaders, to do what's in their heart for them to do, they would be more leaders than followers. You have a lot of children that are at school under a lot of peer pressure because they fear what other children or teenagers may think of them. Or if they say, no, I can't do this, I can't do that, they'll be talked about. So it starts in the household of raising your children to be leaders, to do what's in their heart, to think for themselves, to not go by what, just because something is a phase and everybody's doing it, it doesn't mean that they have to do it just because. They have to think for themselves. and you'll see how many children will grow up with less fear in their heart. Also, when it comes to the education, you teach your kids early to start thinking about what they want to do in the future. You have so many talented kids out there that can act, sing, dance, want to be doctors, want to be lawyers, and so far. But they have a lot of other people talking negative, saying you will never own up to this, you will never own up to that, putting those children down. So these kids and teenagers have to be able to think for themselves and go for what they feel is in their heart or what they want to do.
Yeah. So basically you're saying that there is no way to exclude fear because fear is part of life. But what you have to learn to do is work through fear. You know,
exactly.
Make it be a motivator instead of a depressor or something that holds you back.
Exactly.
Because fear is inevitable. We're always going to have fear of something. I think
exactly.
Key about fear is learning to work through fear and understanding that it is just part of life. Things are going to come
exactly.
and make you feel uncomfortable. Things are going to be said that make you uncomfortable. It's part of life. So if we learn how to move through fear instead of being stuck in fear, I think that is really one of the keys as well, as learning to move
exactly.
through fear. Because we can't stop fear.
No, we can't.
Right.
We can't. And we also have to let them know, too, just because you're successful doesn't mean that that's going to take away the fear either.
Absolutely. Because you hear a lot of celebrities say, man, I was so scared. And you're like, they did it 1,000 times. How can they still
right.
say they're still scared? Especially like stand-up comedians.
Exactly.
You always hear them say, man, I was so scared. And I'm like, wow, they've been on the stage hundreds of times, but yet that fear does not go away. They work through that fear to give you us as an audience a great show.
Exactly. And the fear comes because
right.
they don't know how that audience is going to react to them or accept them.
Yeah.
So each time they step out onto that stage and they look into the crowd, yes, there's going to be fear.
Yeah.
And you're right, you know, because when a child is just growing up, you know, when they start, you know, began to walk and things of that nature, I think we pump a lot of fear in them because we're
exactly.
telling them, you better get off of that, or you
exactly.
better not do this, you know, and things of that nature. And then they fear, you know, starts setting in, you know, because a lot of children, I know I didn't did it myself. I raised my son, and I, you know, I told him many a times, you know, boy, get off that fence. You know what I'm saying? Before
right,
you fall.
Right.
So, you know, like, but a lot of people might say, well, you know, it's easier said than done to let fear go.
It is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not letting it go. You're just learning how to deal with it. You're learning how to not let it control your life. And
absolutely.
as you were stating, John, about children, like how you say you would, you know, your son would fear you because you're telling him get off that fence. It goes back to like with the education too. A lot of parents want their kids to live through them. The dreams that they let fear hold them back from accomplishing, they want to force it on their kids. Like, for instance,
mm-hmm.
say I wanted to be a doctor. My mom wanted me to be a doctor so bad because she was a doctor, but deep inside, I really didn't want to be a doctor. But the fear inside of disappointing my mom, I couldn't tell her I didn't want to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's not making you a great student or a great learner or whatever the situation may be, because you're doing something that you feel you're being forced to do, and you don't want to disappoint your parents because this is what they want for you.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, backtracking on the kids, the first thing that children learn is the word no.
Exactly. You're
the
right.
The first thing we teach them is no. Then we follow that with stop. You know, and
right.
and then from there on, we start, if we allow, people start labeling children. And, you know, when you place labels on people and they are not clear of who they are as they grow into adulthood, they live up to those labels. So you're correct. Like, you know, it really begins way before we become adults. You know,
right.
And once we become adults, we have to own it. That is not me. This is who I am. It's a quote that you knew who you are. You knew who you were before the world told you who you are. And
exactly.
A lot of times we get caught up on what people tell us. Yes.
And some people never learn who they are until they're up there in age and they see somebody else achieve a goal, and then they're sitting there holding in a lot of regret, where I wish I had done this, I wish I had done that. And so, you know the saying, like, it's never too late? It's never too late. I remember when I was pursuing my singing, and I wanted to be a singer so bad, so I was sitting there writing all my songs and calling these different producers, and one day I got on the phone with a record producer, and he asked me how old was I, and when I told him how old I was, the first thing he said was, oh, you're too old. So that was a setback for me, because I got discouraged, I got afraid. I figured, okay, they don't want me because I'm too old, they want this younger generation, because that's the phase. And I didn't pursue it. I just gave up, when that's what I shouldn't have done, just because of one negative voice that came at me. I should have kept pursuing. And yes, I regret it, but I found happiness in what I do now, and that's in my writing.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. As far as the industry, the reason why they like young people, not because it's in, but they're looking at longevity money. Because everybody
right.
that is signed is guaranteed an income or money. So, you know, sometimes they look at the longevity, you know, will you make it? But one thing I'm going to tell you, as far as singing, if you still want to do it, there's no age to singing. Do you know that indie artists are now being nominated or noticed for Grammys? So it's no age, you know, as far as that. You know, if you want to do it as an indie artist, because I'm just telling you, because if that is something that, because the way you said that, that is a personal regret. And sometimes we have to go for that regret. So I'm just encouraging
right.
you to go for that regret, because you don't want to live your life with a stack of regrets. It's okay if
right.
that didn't happen because I tried, but because I gave up based on somebody else's opinion of me, that's where the regret comes in. So you want to, I just want to encourage you to do that, because I know for a fact, I know some older people that are indie artists that are actually hitting these billboards and hitting these, you getting these nods from the Grammy and things like that. So I just want to encourage you to do that, because we do get caught up in what people think we should be or how we think people see us. But in this
exactly.
day and time, social media, YouTube, whatever, you can start you a singing channel. You can do whatever you want. Even if you don't become Beyonce or somebody like that, you will still feel that goodness in your heart that you did this for you, regardless of what
exactly.
nobody says. So, you know,
that's
you're
right.
excellent writer as far as your book, because I read it. I mean, I peeped through it. I like to scan through stuff. And everything you say in that book, you know, not preaching to you or whatever, but use that for your singing, because if that's your gift, you have a right to share it. I don't care who says what, because that's your gift.
Well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. That's part of my point of me wanting to be that motivational person for younger people out there, as myself or even people my age, to don't let fear hold you back from what you feel you can do. A lot of people don't even recognize their talent until they get to a certain age, and they start figuring themselves out when they get a little bit older, something they didn't know. I have a friend that's an actor now, and she's an actress now, and she's in plays, and she's doing a lot, and then she's the number one star in this play. And look at the age that she started at. Who would have thought she would have ever became an actress? And so, as you said, there's no age limit to what you can do. It's just getting out there, letting that fear go, and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's
because
right.
You're entitled to be happy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%, because, you know, like, I'm very familiar with the stage play industry, and and there's a lot of people, you know, that's older. They are doing that now. You know, they acting, you know, they doing stage plays, you know, they doing a lot of things, you know. I mean, and they never thought that they was going to be doing that. But I talked to one lady, and she told me that she always wanted to be an actor. And that's when, and here she is, she's 57 years old, and she says she just getting, you know, started in her acting career. And she's good, you know?
And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. When you do things in life that you love, it gives you something to live for. It gives you something to look for every day. It keeps you happy. You could be going through a very turmoil time in your life, but doing things that you like and that makes you happy is your uplifter. It keeps you going. And I know my writing keeps me going. I love, you know, getting a new book out there, promoting my books, and seeing what the audience says. Now, I have a book out now that's called Forbidden Chronicles of an Indecent Affair. Now, that book itself was so funny because I went to a church group meeting that was titled More Than Pretty. And the first lady spoke on, the subject was fear. And it was the first, it's like people who have these talents and afraid to speak on it. And that's when I spoke and said, I have a book out and I'm afraid of what people will think of it because of the type of book that it is. I say, now this is what I love writing, so this is what I write. And so she asked me, what was the title of the book? I didn't want to say the title of the book because I felt like we were in a group meeting and these were church people, so I didn't want to say the title of the book. And that's when she told me, well, if you're afraid to say what you're writing and you're afraid to say the title of your book, you shouldn't be writing the material. So when she said that, that's when I opened up and I told the title of the book. She said, you're sitting here in a room full of women. These could be your potential buyers. And you're afraid to sit and tell us what the title of your book is. By that time, I was in tears because it was like she hit the nail on the head with the hammer, you know, and she was so right. So I said the name of the book, and then everybody started pulling out their phones, pulling up the book and looking at the book and complimenting me on the book. And so, and then I wind up that same day, I think we were leaving out, and I wind up getting a phone call from my cousins, one of her friends, because my cousin's been in book clubs for years, and they were inviting me to host one of their book club meetings with my book. So that's a group of women right there that's going to be purchasing the book, reading the book, and then we're going to do the book club meeting on it. So, you know, things like that, it's just like, releasing that fear. So overall, it's a great experience. It's a great experience for me. And it's just because it's a hobby and it's what I love doing.
I can remember, I would say maybe about 3-4 years ago, where you was helping another gentleman. He's very well known in the Sacramento area.
Exactly.
You know, get his book together.
Exactly.
Mr.
You're
Moore.
Right, John.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah, and when I guess when his book went public, you know, after it was published, well, he did very well with it, and you was part of that, you know.
Well, thank you. So I've been told no. So that's another thing we have to remember with our young kids. Nothing's going to happen overnight. You're going to hear no, 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 no. You're going to have doors shut in your face. But that doesn't mean to give up. That means to get more, be more stronger, be more motivated, and just go for it and don't give up, because one day someone's going to say yes. And when they say yes, then that's your ticket. It may be to a college that you've been wanting to go to, you know, anything. It could be not just for writing or entertainment. It could be for going to school to be a doctor. You know how the kids fill out all these college applications to get into these colleges, and they may get no, no, no. And then somewhere along the line, here comes that envelope that they open, and they read, congratulations, you've been accepted. So it's just not that. It's anything that you do in life that, you know, you're going to get told no. And it's about you being strong and not give up and let that be your downfall.
That's right. You know, I got a story. I remember when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, but I was living in San Diego. And so I needed a job. And they had this a seminar that this guy was giving, but it was about Kirby's vacuum cleaners, okay? And so I went to the seminar, and I say, so they talked me into it and stuff, you know, for me to sell Kirby vacuum cleaners. And I went on for a whole month. Them people were sending me out there, and, you know, Kirby vacuum cleaners, we had to, you know, they'll take us in a, like in a van, and then we had to go knock on doors.
I remember that.
People were shutting the door in my face. I did that for a month, and I didn't even not make one penny. So I was going to quit. So the night when I decided this is it, well, I got my first sale. I got my first sale. I had at least about, I know I had at least about 50 no's. No, people were slamming their door and everything, and so I got my first sale, and I say, wow, I felt so good. So I can understand what you're talking about, you know, you're going to get them no's, but the yes is
exactly
on its way.
You're going to get the no's, you're going to get the con artists out there trying to, you know, take your money and not do nothing for you. I've been there, done that, with trying to get my books published, you know, hiring people to edit and do, you know, put the book together for me, and, you know, it's falling through. So you have to learn how to, you know, step up and just do things for yourself. You know, learn, study, research. You know, don't be hungry, because that adrenaline is flowing and you can feel it and you want it so bad so you're willing to do anything or sacrifice anything. It's about patience if you want things to be right. Go for your dream, but don't be so hungry for it till you fall into the wrong hands of someone that's out there to take from you instead of helping you gain.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And even if you do due diligence, like you think you figured you check somebody out, you could still be tricked. So, you know,
exactly.
Even if that's a valid point, because you can't take it personal. I always say you can't live your life taking everything that happens to you in life personal. It's just
exactly
life, and it's lessons to be learned. And so, you know, us not being stuck in fear and moving through fear, even after being hurt and disappointed, is really important too. And that's a great point, because people need to really understand that there's going to be moments you're going to be disappointed.
Exactly.
And you got to have people, you know, put on your armor and keep it moving.
Right. It's like the saying, you got to crawl before you walk, and you're going to keep stumbling and falling and stumbling and falling, but you got to keep getting back up and keep moving till that day comes when you're moving straight forward and there's no more stumbling.
But you know one thing, though, and then what makes it so good, you know, when you realize that fear is blocking you where you want to go, but once you remove that, or once you realize that, you know, the thing is realizing it, so that way you can move forward.
Exactly.
There's a lot of things you can do, because I know for a fact that fear stopped me from doing a lot of things. Okay. And that, but once I started moving, once I found out it was fear, and I had no problem, I said, yeah, well, if, you know, fear could be good or fear could be bad. And I tell you what, well, I tell you what, things just start, I mean, going really well. Now I'm okay now. But we have a caller. Y'all want to let him in?
Sure. Welcome aboard.
Okay, hold on. Caller,
how
are you calling from?
My name is Andrew Finch. I'm calling from Longview, Texas.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
How you doing, Miss Cheryl?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was listening to our conversation. I was talking about fear and that is I like that idea because fear is a, you know, it's not necessarily means that it's gonna happen. Like Finch, like John said, you gotta get past the fear. A fear of failure is kind of strange because I have to learn about fear and stuff like that. Fear is good, like you said. John says fear is good if you're using it in a good way, you know. But the fear of failure is like the idea of failure is not really sustained failure. You have to learn that. I mean, failure is not necessarily failure. It's like a growing and learning process. If you see failure as a learning and growing process, you shouldn't be afraid. But people have a fear of not succeeding the first time because it starts when you're young. You get ridiculed. You're not good enough, or like in school, for instance, you get a bad grade, and people call you a failure. It doesn't necessarily mean you're not good. It means you're still learning. If you make a 50 one time and make a 60 next time, that's good because you're improving. So instead of seeing people see failure as a growth process and not like a belittle process as you're dumb and you ain't good enough. And I think that's one of the greatest reasons why people fear of failure because I think it means they're not good enough or something like that. It's what they've been taught and conditioned. But fear is good if you not use the energy of something greater. Like, don't give up. You know, it's
exactly.
Okay to be afraid of something,
exactly.
You know. So, yeah, I'm glad
you're 100% right.
Talk about that. Yes, ma'am. So, yeah, you got to keep doing your dream.
Right. You touched on the subject that we had just, what we were just talking about when it came to school. You know, like a lot of the fear starts with the peer pressure in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so
they need to get rid of that
right.
idea of you know, that the public school's not good as it used to be. And people need to get the idea of if 'cause I failed before and went and started over another grade. And I had to repeat, like, think first grade. And I got to high school, so some class I had to go to summer school. But it's not necessarily mean you're dumb. It just could mean that you're not, you know, just need to work on it or you may learn different. You know, everybody don't learn the same either. And so
that's
a lot of people
true.
Don't realize that everybody don't learn the same and unique differently. So everybody may learn different. You might have to teach to something another way till they get it, till they catch on, till it sparks. Cause that's a lot of people not good in math. But then when you catch on to math, they realize it's not as hard as they think it is. So
right.
It all about learning, learning from different. So a lot of people, when I think about public school, is everybody don't learn the same rate and the same pace. And so people feel rejected. So
and that's what the teachers need to realize also. The teachers have to realize that you can't treat every student the same because everybody does have a different way of learning. And it's also how that teacher teaches because I went through that myself with a teacher. I took medical terminology and I took it in college and there was this teacher that I just could not catch on to how the teacher was teaching it. So I dropped out of that class and I picked it up the next semester with a whole different teacher, a whole new teacher. And the way that teacher taught it, I picked it up like with the snap of a finger to the point where I went up to the teacher's desk and thanked the teacher and told the teacher, thank you. Because it's never been taught to me this way. And the way you taught it, it was so easy. And I really thank
exactly.
you for it. And the teacher was amazed. So you're right. You can't treat every student the same. I think that if the teachers took the time out to get to learn each and every one of their students on a personal level, then they would have a better understanding of their students instead of being so quick to fail a student because a student just didn't catch on to something.
Yes, ma'am. And that's why I like a lot of people start going to homeschool. Mm-hmm. So homeschool, you have that, all the peer pressure, and it's easy for that parent should be able to teach their kid where they can understand and take the time to do it. Homeschool is becoming more important than it is being around the people, because they know you got peer pressure, people calling you dumb, and it's crazy, and stuff like that.
You're so right.
Yeah. Well, I ain't even gonna hold y'all long. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you
for calling in, Andrew. Stay on the line and listening to the show. Yeah.
He really made some valid points. But one thing about school we have to realize, too, especially public schools, those classrooms are so big. And it's really hard to reach every child in those classrooms. You know, I got a lot of friends that are school teachers. And it's really, even though you may reach one, you may reach two, you may reach three, you may not reach the one you're trying to reach. It's just so many. And then kids have so many things they bring to school with them. You know, the pains from home, they hungry, they're tired, you know, or they're being bullied themselves. I mean, it's just so many things, and peer pressure. It is so many things that kids bring to the classroom besides the willingness to be open to learn. Their brain has got so many things on there, you know, and it really makes it hard, but it's great when you find a teacher that can connect with you personally. You know, and makes a difference, because that's how it was. My sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Dorothy Starworth, I'll never forget her. But she took me to my first plays, my first operas, all those things, especially for a little color kid in South Central. We weren't even tripping. We weren't doing that, you know. But she wanted me to see that it was a group of us, but wanted us to see that it was a bigger world than the world we lived in. And I'm never, I can never thank her enough for that, because that took away a fear that I'm only supposed to do X, Y, and Z. Oh, no, I could do X. I could do a whole bunch. You know, it's unlimited of what I can do. And I think, you know, when you talk about your book and when you speak to, you know, other people and stuff, you're teaching them that it's unlimited. The universe is unlimited. It's nothing that they cannot do if they just apply themselves and move through that fear. And I think that's what's really good about what you're teaching, because a lot of people have a misconception of fear, you know, and understand that fear is inevitable. How you move through it is what the key is. And giving them those tools to do that is really essential, you know, really essential for, you know, people that are stuck in that place of fear. So I commend you for that. But when you speak to, I know, I noticed that because I've checked you out, you speak sometimes. And when you're speaking, now I don't know which age group it is, you can share that, but when you're speaking, what are some of the things that you share when you're sharing your book and trying to motivate people to move past fear?
I share some of the life experiences that I've been through, you know, real incidents, you know, of, you know, being myself, even when it comes down to relationships, you know, fear of being alone or fear of, are getting into an abusive relationship. So you hold yourself back, you know, from even dating, because you've been there, you've done that. And so you're second guessing yourself. You may lose out on a good relationship because of what you've been through in the past, and you're holding back and you're afraid to start all over again. Like for myself, I've been married for, I was married for 25 years. And now I've been single for 8 years. And the reason why I've been single for 8 years, because of the fear holding me back to start all over again. You know, and it's just, fear comes in every part of your life. So my motivation is just to just let go. I know I can be the better at saying the words than doing it myself. And sometimes I feel like I need to sit back and listen to someone else, listen to someone else's advice and how they handle things, because we may think we know it all and have the answers to everything. We can easily sit and tell someone else what to do and how to do it, but we're not practicing what we preach ourselves. And I know there's things that I'm not practicing what I preach myself, because I can sit here and say, don't do this and don't do that. But then when it comes to me, I'm afraid and I'm holding back.
Wow. You know, God.
But that's honest.
Ooh, that's, I'm talking about, that's beyond honest. I mean, you know, like.
Well, I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can sit there and we can say, don't do this, don't that, do that. This is how you should do it. But, you know, sometimes people with the best advice needs the advice given to them themselves. You know,
that's
and
right.
I'm one of those people. I'm one of them because I'm living it every single day.
I'm one of them, too. I give advice.
Yeah,
and I
you
need
know what? And that's such a good point. No, because you know what? People do, we, especially helpers. I say helpers because some people are natural helpers, you know what I mean? And helpers
right.
get caught up in everybody's stuff.
Right.
They're so busy caught up in everybody's stuff, they ain't taking care of their own stuff. And
you're
I
so right.
That.
You're
and
so,
so
right.
You know, so we all need somebody to talk to. But I think what's really awesome about what you said is that you also are not so, people are always saying, I don't want to write a book. I don't want to tell my story because I ain't nobody or whatever. But what I like about what you just said, you admitted that you're still growing through your process, but it didn't stop you from writing about the process. And that's what I want
sure
the audience
didn't.
To know and people to really get. You can still, all amateur, all experts were once an amateur. That's
exactly.
A fact.
Exactly.
So just because you're not a, what they, you know, consider a pro or, you know, all this stuff, you still got a story to tell. And your story
right.
can help somebody else. And
right.
that honesty changes lives.
Right.
Wow.
I
you
wrote
know,
my first book. I'm sorry, John.
I'm sorry,
what were you saying?
No, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm very sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I think I kind of interrupted you. But what I was going to say was my first book was like a small biology, a biography, I'm sorry, a small biography on my life that I wrote on some things that held me back. And I was afraid for that book to be released because it was like personal family issues that I was holding in that was hurting inside. And I didn't talk about it to nobody. And it took me forever to write this book because I would stop and cry. And then I would say, I can't do it. It's too painful. So I finally one day said, I got to finish this book. I have to finish this book. So I pulled it out. I finished the book. I had to stop and think like, how my family is going to feel about this book, you know. And sure enough, when the book was released, oh, you should have heard the negative things that were coming my way. Like they were saying, this wasn't true, that wasn't true, that didn't happen, this didn't happen. Okay, in your eyes, it may not have happened because it didn't happen to you. This is my life. I lived it. These are the things that I went through. So whether you felt it that way or you saw it that way, you can't sit and say what's not true. So that book sold a lot. You know, I had a book event at the bookstore, a book signing event, and the book just went, you know, really, really quick. And the manager at the store asked, could I put the book on the bookshelf? I was so happy for that because it was an honor that, you know, they asked to put the book on the bookshelf. Now, remind me, before you have a book signing event, the store, the managers have to read the book themselves so they'll know what they're helping promote.
Right.
So, exactly. So for me to even have made it that far to get to have a book signing event at Borders Bookstore, that's the bookstore it was at, and that was a major bookstore, then
that's
for them to ask to put the book on the shelf, I was so excited. And that's where my motivation came to keep writing. But I didn't want to go back into the personal. I wanted to go into fiction because I feel I have that vivid imagination where I can just, you know, write some of everything. And so I get compliments on it. Like, is this book about you? Oh, well, girl, I opened up this book and I started reading this book and I could have sworn you were talking about me. You know, so I get compliments and comments like that, you know, so when you get compliments and comments like that, it motivates you to just keep going, which is what
that's
I'm
right.
doing now. So I do have another book that's a sequel. It's a trilogy to Forbidden Chronicles of an Indecent Affair, and the book is titled Forbidden Chronicles with a Revenge. So it's a trilogy to the first book.
Okay.
And now I'm working on that now. I don't have a release date, but I'm working on that one as we speak.
Okay. Well, we have another caller.
Oh,
y'all
want to
let him on? Okay, hold
sure.
on. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh,
hello,
hey,
Tommy.
Hello, Tommy. Hello, Mrs. Jake, Mr. Brown, and your special guest. Hi, everybody.
Cheryl.
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, look, I had to call in because, you know, you're speaking all truth. You know, I did a small biography, too, and there's some things that was written, you know, people were angry with, you know, which I'm just telling the truth. You know, that someone else may read it and they might learn something from it and don't go back and make some of the mistakes that others have made in their early life journey. And man, and then family began to read it and they were like some of your family, you know, that no, it didn't happen like that. It was like, no, I'm telling you because it happened to me, you know, and so a whole lot, you know, and a writer, I believe a writer when you write things, he writes things from their heart, and that he hoped that people would take it where it would give them an advantage on life itself. Except if you're writing nonfiction, and when I written this, and that's what it was all about, to have the next generation not do like the generation before them, and boy, they hit the sky on me, man. I thought I was gonna have to run for my life. Yeah, so I know you look for folks to say, well, hey man, you know, some things happen here and you know I see where you're coming from and I'm going to improve and I'm going to work with my kids that they not step into this year or be involved in anything. So it's like, wait, what wasn't like that? You know, so not everybody is going to appreciate your work.
No, they're not.
That's right. Well, everybody, we only have 2 minutes and 30 seconds left on the show, so I'm going to ask Ms. J to start closing us out.
Well, thank you, Tommy, for sharing your story.
Yes, you're welcome.
Well, first of all, thank you, Cheryl, for joining us, and thank you for everybody that called in today. We appreciate that. Cheryl, if you had one positive thing to say to the audience before we head out, what would that be?
Oh, let me see. Don't let fear hold you back. Just go for it. Whatever you want to do in life, pray on it. Because believe me, God answers prayers. If you're a believer in God and you believe in prayer, pray on it and stay strong.
And John L. Brown?
Yes, I would like to thank author Cheryl Olson.
Yes.
For coming on the show. It was really good. I learned a lot. Thank you so much for sharing. And, wish you the best, you know, for your journey. And we shall stay in contact with you. We're going to be following you. And so, you know, you just keep up the good work, Cheryl. And back to you, Ms. J.
Yes, absolutely. Again, thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. We know it's a holiday weekend. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. You could have been anywhere else, but you were here, so we thank you for that. And Cheryl, I'd like to wish you continued success, and I'm going to post a thank you post, and I'll look up some of the information so they'll know where they can get your books that you already have out. And just thank you for joining us, and thank you for having the courage to talk about fear, because it's something that we all need to talk about. So thank you very much.
And thank you. Thank you, Jay, and thank you, John, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Our pleasure as well. And with that said, good night and peace and blessings. Thank you.
Right. Good night and enjoy your weekend.
Good night. Good night, everybody.